Reading from Philippians chapter 3, verse 12b, I keep striving toward the goal. Philippians 3, 12b. 1 Corinthians 6, 20, God paid a great price for you, so use your body to honor God. 1 Corinthians 6, 20, and 2 Corinthians 5, 9, we make it our goal to please Him. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. It is Tuesday, March 11th, 2025. We continue with our series by Pastor Rick Warren, Shaping Your Future Self. Last week and the prior week, we concluded with part one, The Awesome Power of Praise, how praising God changes every situation, and we learned so much. Well, today we'll complete part two, finishing up what was started last Wednesday, and I'll play about 3 minutes from last Wednesday to set the context. But today we'll finish looking at why is setting faith goals so essential, and we'll hear about goals keep you going, goals build your character, good goals will be rewarded. We'll also learn the kind of goals God blesses with these 3 points. One, will this goal honor God? Two, is this goal motivated by love? And three, will this goal require depending on God? Here's Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church with our theme, Shaping Your Future Self, Pleasing God by Setting Faith Goals.
Many years ago, I did a study, read of Holocaust survivors. These were people who survived the Nazi death camps. As you know, over 6 million Jews lost their lives in the death camps. And we once did a civil forum here at Saddleback where I invited six Holocaust survivors who had lived in the death camps and made it through, come and give their testimony at Saddleback Church. And the one thing that they had in common was they had something to look forward to. They had a goal in their life. You see, a goal keeps you from being discouraged by short-term setbacks. You're going to have setbacks in life. We all have setbacks. Nobody goes through life without setbacks. Nobody goes through life with one success after another. But goals encourage you. Now, listen, a goal doesn't have to be big to motivate you. You can take baby step goals and be motivated by each small step. You know, the last couple of months, I've had a couple of hospital stays. And I noticed that when you're in the hospital, nurses come in and they have you set small daily goals. And I remember the first daily goal is, can you sit up? Okay. Can you eat? Then there's the goal of, can you get out of bed? Can you go to the bathroom? There's a goal of, can you walk the hall with your IV? Can you make it through the week? Their individual goals can keep you motivated. They don't have to be big. They just have to be clear. Now listen, if you're discouraged right now, you need to set some new goals. Let me give you a fifth reason why we're talking about this. Goals build my character. Goals build my character. Now, let me let you in on a little secret here. Why am I teaching this to you? Because the greatest benefit of faith goals is not what you achieve. It's what you become in the process. Faith goals shape your future self. We shape our goals and they shape us. You see, while you're working on your faith goal, God is going to be working on you. And that's what's going to last for eternity, your character. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, Paul says this, I keep striving toward the goal. I keep striving toward the goal. In other words, I don't give up. I keep making it inch by inch, baby step by baby step. Now, I want you to write this down. Okay, if you're taking notes, write this down. I will never become what God intends me to be without intention. I will never become what God intends me to be without intention. Do you intend to be any different by the end of this year? Let me just be frank. See, there are people here sitting beside you who are not going to be any different. They're not going to be any better at the end of this year. Why? Because they never intended to be. They never intended to be any different. They're just going to, drift through the year. They will never set any faith goals. Let me give you one other reason why we're talking about what we're talking about this weekend. Good goals will be rewarded. Good goals will be rewarded. And I want you to get those goals. I don't want you to miss out on those goals. As your pastor who loves you, I want you to be rewarded. Now, there are two ways that you're rewarded for good goals. First, you're rewarded by people here on earth. And second, you're rewarded by God in eternity forever and ever and ever. Let me show you a couple of verses. Proverbs 11:27, today's English version, says this: if your goals are good, you will be respected. Whoa, everybody wants to be respected. R-E-S-P-E-C-T, we all want to be respected. We all want to have dignity. We all want people to value us. It says, if your goals are good, you will be respected. That's what the Bible says. That's what God says. You know, why do we celebrate Martin Luther King's birthday? Because he had selfish goals? No, because he gave his life to unselfish goals. He lived his life for the benefit of others. I want to remind you that Martin Luther King was first and foremost a Christian and a pastor. He was a Baptist pastor of a Baptist church. He did what he did for the global glory of God. So you're going to be rewarded by other people when your goals are good. We honor people who have unselfish goals, like Martin Luther King and others. But never forget that your real reward is one that's going to last forever. And we find this all through Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25 says this: all athletes practice strict self-control, and they do it to win a prize that will fade away. We're getting ready to go into the next Olympics. People have been, you know, working out for years, and they practice to win a prize, but that prize is going to fade away. But we do it. We set goals, and we practice for an eternal prize. That's why Paul says, so I run straight to the goal. There's that word again. Circle it. I run straight to the goal with purpose in every step. That's New Living Translation. Purpose in every step. I want you to be a purpose-driven goal setter this year. Now, I've given you six reasons why this is the next step in shaping your future self. First, praising God, the power of praise, whether you feel like it or not, changes your life. Second, having faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we show our faith by setting faith goals. Now, let's get practical. Let me give you your next step in shaping your future self. Then, for the rest of your life, I'm only asking you to think about the next 100 days in your life. That's all I'm asking, the next 100 days. This weekend, sometime, I want you to get alone by yourself, and I want you to be quiet for a few minutes, and I want you to consider two questions. These are the same questions that I asked our staff to consider and send me their answers last Wednesday. Here are the two questions. Number one, what's the most important personal goal I'd like to accomplish in the next 100 days with God's help? What is the most important goal I'd like to accomplish in the next 100 days with God's help? To have no goal is to be a goal by default. You're just going to drift. So I want you to spend the time. The unexamined life isn't worth living. What am I going to do? What's one thing I want to ask God to help me work on, change, develop? What's one personal goal I'd like to accomplish in the next 100 days with God's help? And here's the second question I want you to think about sometime this weekend and write down the answer. What is the most important ministry goal I'd like to accomplish in the next 100 days with God's help? Now, what's ministry? Helping somebody else. I don't want you just to have a self-centered goal. I want you to have a goal to help somebody else. Anytime you help someone else in the name of Jesus, that's called your ministry. And the Bible says we're all called to ministry. We weren't put here to just live for ourselves. We're put here to help other people. So have one personal goal and then have one goal to help somebody else, okay? Help somebody else in some way. What's going to be my ministry goal? Not for the rest of my life, just the next 100 days. A way to help somebody else. Now, let me give you some little qualifiers. Not every goal in life is a good goal, okay? Not every goal is a goal that will shape your future self. And not every goal is a goal that God blesses. So what kind of goals does God bless? Well, let me suggest three simple questions that will evaluate your goals as you're thinking through, is this the goal I want for the next 100 days? Okay, write down these questions. Questions to ask yourself to evaluate, is this a good faith goal? Is it a God-blessed faith goal? Number one, here's the question. Will God honor this goal? Will this goal honor God? Let me say it that way. Will this goal honor God? You see, if it doesn't honor God, then how can it be pleasing to God? Well, what kind of goal brings glory to God? Well, it's not that hard. Anything that causes you to love Him more, to trust Him more, to serve Him more, to be more grateful, to be more patient, to be more usable. Any goal that causes you to be more of a bridge builder. You know this. Anything that causes you to be more loving, more faithful, more patient, any of the fruit of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20 says this, God paid a great price for you, so use your body to honor God. There might be something you want to do with your body. What can I do that will honor God in the next 100 days? Okay. 1 Corinthians 10:31. Look at this verse on your outline. When you eat or you drink or you do anything, always do it to honor God. You say, wait a minute. Does everything honor God? Did you know that everything can be done for God's glory? You can take out the trash for God's glory. You can wash the dishes for God's glory. You can do your laundry for God's glory. Everything can be done for God's glory. How? Right attitude with gratitude to God and right motivation to honor and love Him. Okay? So you literally anything you can do, you can clean out your car for the glory of God, but you do it with an attitude of gratitude and an attitude of praise. We talked about last week. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. Hope this will be a good verse for the next 100 days for you. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. We make it our goal to please Him. We make it our goal to please Him. So the first question is, will this goal honor God? Okay? A lot of goals could be very selfish, self-centered. Will this goal honor God? Second, is this goal motivated by love? That's a good question. As you sit through and think, what are the goals I want to have in the next 100 days? Can I do this in love? God's not going to honor a goal motivated by greed. God's not going to honor a goal motivated by ego. God's not going to honor a goal motivated by competition. God is not going to honor a goal motivated by guilt. Did you hear that? God is not going to honor a goal motivated by shame or by jealousy or by envy or by materialism. If you're going to set a God-given, Holy Spirit-inspired goal, it's got to be done in love. 1 Corinthians 16:14 says this, everything you do must be done with love. Everything you do must be done with love. And 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, let love be your highest goal. Now, why does God want us to do everything with love? Well, here's why. The problem with loveless goals is they typically end up treating everybody and even yourself as objects to be manipulated. You use things. You use people to get to things. No. You are to use things and love people. Use things, love people. When you get that reversed, you're going to be in trouble. Because if you love things, you're going to use people to get to them. Now, here's the third question. First, will this goal honor God? Can this goal be done in love? Here's the third one. Will this goal require depending on God? That's the faith question. That's without faith, it is impossible to please God. Romans 14, verse 23 says, everything that does not come from faith is sin. So whatever goal I set, if I can't do it in faith, if it's not going to cause me to trust God, then it's not really the right thing. Whatever doesn't come from faith is sin. Proverbs 16, verse 9. Look at this verse on your outline. We plan the way we want to live. But only God makes us able to live it. I love that in the Message translation. Now, I've given you six reasons why you need to set some personal goals and some ministry goals for the next 100 days. And I've given you three biblical ways on how to evaluate if it's a good goal or not. Now, you're going to need three things. And I just want to remind you of these. These are the three things, the three resources you're going to need in the next 100 days. And actually in the future, for shaping your future self. You're not going to shape your future self, become the woman you want to be, become the man you want to be, without these three things. Write these down. Number one, I will need God's Spirit to empower me. I will need God's Spirit to empower me. That's why it's a faith goal. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Zechariah 4:6, you will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. I preached on that verse at the first service of Saddleback when Kay and I started with just the two of us, and we were starting, and we said, where's this thing going? You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And the last 42 years are an evidence of that verse. I'm going to need God's Spirit to empower me. Number two, I'm going to need God's Word to guide me. Okay? You got to get in this book. Get in the next 100 days. The more you spend in this book, the more guidance you're going to get for your goals. I can think of an example when Moses gave Joshua a huge goal. Actually, God gave Joshua the goal. When Joshua was given this huge goal of this, you're going to take the entire nation of Israel into the promised land that I promised to give you. You're going to have to fight for it to possess it. Joshua had every reason to be frightened by the goal. This is too big. I could not possibly do this. As I said, you've never really believed God till you've attempted something you can't do in your own power. But in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, God says this to Joshua. Joshua, keep this book of the law, that's the Bible, keep this book of the law on your lips. In other words, talk about it. Recite it by day and by night, that you may be careful to fully follow, carefully follow all that is written in it. He says, if you do that, then you'll successfully attain your goal. Did you know that verse is in the Bible? You know, the only promise of success in the Bible, Joshua 1, 6 to 8, says God gives you success when you do what he tells you to do in his word. All you need to know about shaping your future self, about becoming who you really want to be, all you need to know about shaping your future self is in this book. I'm going to need God's Spirit to empower me. I'm going to need God's Word to guide me. And here's the third thing you're going to need in the next 100 days and all into the future. I will need God's people to support me. I can't do it on my own. We weren't meant to be all alone. It is not good for you to be alone. God hates loneliness. That's why he created a spiritual family called the church. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 12, he says this, the third thing we need. I need God's people to support me. He says, by yourself, you're unprotected. But with a friend, you can face the worst. And a group of three is even better. It's like a rope, because a rope braided with three strands is not easily snapped. Now let's pray together. Would you bow your heads? Father, we know, we already know that you're going to do some amazing things in the next 100 days in the lives of our family. We know that with setting goals in faith, praising you in advance, lives are going to be changed. We know that families are going to be saved. We know that friendships are going to be made. Some people are going to get engaged. Miracles are going to happen. We're going to thank you in advance for what's going to happen. We're already thanking you for what's happening in the hearts of people. And Father, I want to pray that people will not just simply listen to this message and do nothing about it. They'll miss out on the blessing if they do that. But I pray we'll be doers of the word. I pray that they'll get serious about shaping their future self. They'll stop being blown around and drifting and being guided by circumstance. Lord, we want to begin the process of intentionally living on purpose, shaping our future self. Help us to ask the question, what do I need to do today to get to where I need to be tomorrow? Now, with our heads still bowed, I want you to pray. Why don't you pray something like this? Father, I don't want to be stuck. I don't want to stay stuck. I don't want to remain the same. I don't want to just drift through another year. And Lord, regardless of what happens this year, I want to be different. And I want to be better. And I want to grow in character. So, Father, in faith, I'm asking you to help me set some faith goals for the next 100 days. And I'm asking your Spirit to empower me to accomplish these goals. I can't do it on my own power. Willpower is not enough. And I'm asking you to guide me through your word. And I commit to being a part of a small group of people where I can give and receive support. So today, with great hope, Lord, in faith, I'm looking forward to the next 100 days of growth. Thank you in advance for your help and for the ways you're going to help me change and reach these goals. In your name I pray. Amen.
Setting goals for your 100-day plan sounds to me like a great message for the beginning of the year, but you can start it today. You were hearing a message by Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Church. The series we began a little over a week ago was Shaping Your Future Self. This was the concluding part two, Pleasing God by Setting Faith Goals. A couple weeks back, we looked at part one, which was titled The Awesome Power of Praise, How Praising God Changes Every Situation. And tomorrow and next Tuesday and Wednesday, we'll look at Holy Habit, Seeing What God Sees. And that'll be a message by Dr. Derwin L. Gray. And in the coming weeks, we'll look at part four and part five, Habits That Help You Hold On in Hard Times. If you missed a portion of today's broadcast or want to listen to it again, you can stop by greatnewsradio.org or wluj.org and listen anytime under the Mark and Friends tab. A quick little recap on setting goals for your 100-day plan. What do you need to ask God for with His help? What is the most important goal you would like to accomplish? And two, what is the most important ministry goal you would like to accomplish? And then be sure to answer, will this goal honor God? Is this goal motivated by love? And will this goal require depending on God? Those will be key questions to answer to see if your goals line up with what God would want you to do. And you also need to remember, for setting goals over the next 100 days, is will you need God's Spirit to empower you? Will you need God's Word to guide you? And will you need God's people to support you? Oh, listening friends, let's make this an exciting 100-day plan to shape our future. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Media. God bless you and have a great day and night.